You've got Matt.
And Tobia.
And it's not so cold. We can warn you that it's actually almost balmy for Melbourne weather this morning.
Yeah, I know. It's quite nice. It's quite a good change to wake up to. Not so bad to get out the bed.
I could actually hear the birds chirping on the way into the studio.
Even they were happy.
Yeah, they're pretty pleased.
Yeah, okay. We've got plenty of things to talk about. One of the things, where do we want to kick off?
We've been reporting on an issue on Radio Filler that kicked off this weekend that was the police killing of a 40-odd-year-old man called Abderrahim Fakir. It was unclear in Bologna, in Italy. So it was unclear as to why he was restrained. Police say that they got a call for disruptive behaviour. And what was the outcome was that this man was restrained, cable-tied hands and feet, and then choked until he was unconscious. Paramedics were called to assist. And these six people just watch a man die in the middle of the street. Since then, mass protests have erupted all across Italy.
And the protest was actually called by the mayor of Bologna, to be as I understand.
Yeah, so quite violent clashes happened afterwards. There seems to be a lot of reporting indicating that the police incited a lot of the clashes, beating reporters from quite large newspapers, beating and restraining students.
Yep.
And this all happens under the auspices of the Meloni government.
I've got a little bit of an update because I'm just checking the headlines from ANSA, which is the Italian national news agency. And this is the headline from the family's lawyer of Abderrahim Fakir. They've undertaken an autopsy. It shows violent asphyxia from compression. That's the headline. And also the autopsy revealed blood in Fakir's lungs and crushing. So that's, I think it's very obvious what that points
and
to.
And the justice that the family's not receiving is emboldened by the 45 bis, this new legislation that basically shields police and emergency service personnel from having their names disclosed. And also initiates a process wherein which this case will be shelved and within 30 days it's able to be dismissed and not accounted for. So there's been a whole lot of...
So what you're saying, Italy is lawless?
Yeah. So this is obviously contravening almost every human rights agreement, accord, anything that humanity's ever created in order to...
And really what happened, and also recently in Philip, we've celebrated, the founding of through the Constitution. We had the Festa della Repubblica. And I think what happened is actually against the principles of the Italian Constitution.
This is very similar to what's going on in America at the moment. The Interceptors put out a note to say that the sentencing of 16 people to a combined 560-plus years in prison following a protest last year outside ICE's Prairie Land Detention Centre sparked outrage nationwide. Several defendants are appealing their convictions, and the Intercept is using state open record laws to demand access to key documents that may shed new light on what happened the night of the protests. It's quite extraordinary, isn't it, that the misuse of the law. And when I was writing this down, I was thinking it's similar to what was happening in 18th century England when there was over 280 crimes that a person could commit would receive a death penalty for. Now that's a country out of control, one would say, and the Americans are looking very similar. And I guess what's happening in Italy is also a line in the sand.
That's right, exactly. We're seeing a worrying trend here as well with what's happening. I mean, we've just had the Labour conference and all the shenanigans that's going on with that. Matthew, you were keeping a close eye on that.
Yeah, from what I understand, Albo's been keeping a very close lid on debate, And for quite some time, a number of the unions.
I think you'll probably find he's got a team, a large team of public relations people doing that.
All of them holding the lid down.
Someone should do a cartoon.
Keeping a lid on things. Like activists and unionists and have been trying to put together like a number of motions, of pro-Palestine solidarity motions, calling for things such as sanctions for Israel. We've also seen MP Ed Husic quite very recently be very vocal about that, and he's been interviewed a couple of times on ABC to that fact.
But that was a Freudian slip, advertised
Freudian. I was somewhat revealing, probably that sanctions should be forthcoming on Israel, and from what I hear, what's been happening at the conference as well, that On the first day of the debate, the topic of Palestine was made way for gambling reform. And also I hear as well that for all the various sort of causes within the Labor Party, they have stalls allocated. Now, all the stalls that have got to do with environmental activism or things around Murray River or Palestine, things of very important significance, are actually being put in... quite a bit away from the main centre of the conference, so I think that's revealing.
I think we're talking about massaging the facts. The Bob Brown Foundation reported that after Elbow flew into Adelaide for Labor's national conference on the 23rd, their billboards calling for an end to native forest logging were taken down. These billboards were there to welcome delegates with a message the party doesn't want to confront. 80% of Labor voters and the majority of Australians support an end to native forest logging. Their campaign wasn't the only one silenced, they said. Other nature campaign billboards were removed too, while mining advertisements were left standing. Bob Brown said this is Trump-lite behaviour by Labor or censorship of public comment by Adelaide Airport, and they're calling for the reinstatement of their billboards.
That actually reminds me of the talk that I went to last Sunday put on by Friends of Rock Art. As well, they had in attendance the traditional custodians of the land, represented by Raylene Cooper, who's heads the Marajuka Corporation, as well as Save Our Songlines.
Actually, she used to. When they kowtowed, she became a free radical.
Mm.
I know this story. I've been following it for quite a long time. Go on.
Yep. And what you just said, what happened with the billboards, reminded me of something that was said by one of the co-conveners that, yes, the Marajuka has got World Heritage Protection, but they were there at the UNESCO negotiations, I think, sometime last year. And
how flimsy is that protection?
It's very flimsy. Actually, that was mentioned at this talk that Senator Murray White, the environmental minister, had actually... intervened somewhat on the behalf of Woodside and the other infrastructure utility companies that are extracting minerals out of the Marajuka to weaken the protections.
And one of the things that was most shocking coming out of the talk, they get the gas for free. And because they get the gas for free, they don't believe that it's worth their while to do the protections that are already technologically available to them, which would protect the upward of 30,000-year-old continuous gallery of human endeavour in Marajuka. The Woodside doesn't think that it's worth their while. What we're saying is that corporations are on one side of the ledger when it comes to human endeavour, and we're all on the other.
Yeah, and this is technology
Available.
Yeah, that's available, and which is called scrubber technology, which has been used in Europe to eliminate acid rain. And Woodside keep on claiming, no, we can't put this in technology in place, could it make our project unviable?
Well, I mean, if you're getting it for free, any small cost is...
It's too much. And worse, our federal environment minister is an enabler. An enabler, not a minister for the protection of environment. And just a very small thing to finish off with. This is just a very small kind of thing. Last week, there was the fourth anniversary of the Sydney Road Accessible Tram Stops campaign. And that's when they put in the... they're going to do this development, which the Skyrail, which is going to start in 2028. And so during that whole period, the people who have disability or difficulty getting onto trams will not be able to access the trams, okay? And this is what the campaign's about. Now, going into the... there's recently... that the Labor government's committed to development funding, in inverted commas, for accessible tram stops on Sydney Road, right? Now, that registers a win. But what they've discovered in the past is that they put money into a development fund, but when it comes to the delivery fund, there's no money available. The cupboard is bare. And so this is the cynical people amongst us see this as being a necessary public relations activity from a government when it's been going into an election. So you should keep your eyes out for these PR activities that these people think are okay, but in actual fact, in the real world, public transport is not an added extra. It is an absolute necessity.
And just looking into this, just a reminder that the actual Disability Discrimination Act came into being in 1992, and it requires that all tram stops must be fully compliant with disability standards for accessible public transport, which is regulation that came in 2002, by 31st December 2022.
So well, there you go.
There, see, this is and this is just information I gleaned from Victorian government's website around the regulations and accessibility of trans services.
We've got to massage the facts.
Yeah.
Massage the facts.
At least for once we can end the news headlines on a bit of a win. There's a headline that says Woodside humiliated as Supreme Court dismisses the trial of the Woodside 3, a slap suit in less than a week. Activists who put a stink bomb in the Perth offices of Woodside in 2023 and had been pursued in the courts by Woodside this week had the case for information disclosure regarding the planning of the event that caused the evacuation of the building thrown out.
Yay!
So at least a little celebration in that regard.
That's a throwback. I remember... people in the anti-apartheid movement a long time ago talking about a little action of the same sort going into a bank, sidling in and sidling out.
We'll also see what the courts are having to deal with when there's an actual bombing attempt at the Invasion Day rally that's received almost no media coverage and has almost no weight in the media.
Mm.